This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Football Friday. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney ready to roll, and we're inside of our studios, the Rocket Mortgage. Bye. Quicken Loan Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. We're absolutely stacked, as always, on a Friday. Little Fitzpatrick dialing up the magic. We'll obviously hit that. Some pressure on some pretty good quarterbacks. Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, all trying to avoid 0-3 starts. The Pac-12 joins the Big Ten, so they're back in college football, starting to get back to normalcy here, taking shape. Sharp Tierney's in the house, and Sharp Tierney is hot out of the chute, which is good. Picks against the spread, but obviously the hoops was crazy last night. Teak, what's happening? How you doing today, buddy? You good?
All is good. I can't wait to see the Sharp Tierney new accessory that I got a sneak peek of. Dude, you're pulling your whole Brooklyn.
Watch.
Your whole Brooklyn persona is
That's
coming
right.
out for the nation to see. But all has been good today, man. I'm working on a cool project
with
Epics. It's a show called The Grind. It'll air next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Doing an interview and an in-depth look at the Giants, in particular, Deion Lewis, who's obviously filling in for Saquon Barkley, and the grind that goes in to getting the season underway. Only 3 weeks in, the Giants are 0-2, and so taking a look at them. I'll be at the game on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Which will be great against the 49ers. So it's going to be cool, and this is a cool project that I'm working on. So The Grind on Epics. Check it out next week.
I like
Wednesday.
Epics.
Yeah,
they've got some good work. So wait, so you did a little – you interviewed them today. You go on Sunday. They'll get footage from that. Nice. So when is it going to air?
So it's going to air on Wednesday at 9 p.m. So next Wednesday at 9 p.m. I did the Skype interview with him, or a Zoom interview with him today. Mm-hmm. I'll be at the game on Sunday. I'll interview him post-game on Monday. Just get a look at Deion Lewis, who's had a very journeyed career.
Mm-hmm.
Six different stops, even though Indians, Cleveland, he didn't really play that much. But a Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, and now he's taken on an increased role with the Giants because of Saquon's knee injury, which is what we're obviously looking into. So,
attaboy.
It's kind of cool. And Deion's
nice.
A good kid. By the way, he grew up in Albany, so he used to come to training camp when I was up there. He said I ghosted him, man. He said I never took care of him and gave an autograph.
You blew by him? Were you rude to him?
No, I was never rude to anybody.
I didn't think you were, but maybe Deion's got maybe that's a different show.
Yeah, maybe. He said he met Ron Dane, though.
Oh, Ron Dane.
Ron Dizzle. Dizzle.
Nice, man. I like when you get to do new projects. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great.
We had an interesting 30, 40 minutes before the show. I got to tell you this real quick.
Go ahead.
Something like this has not happened, thank God, in a long time. So Kinsley, my four-year-old daughter, obviously Tiki knows that. She's four. And she just turned four this summer, so she's a young four. She got into the – you know, we've got the whole art room and we've got the whole –
this is going.
For
no.
some reason, she used the magic markers as makeup.
Oh, no.
So the top of her eyelids, like not rouge, whatever the – blushes on the cheeks. But whatever, you know, she wanted to look like mommy.
The eyeliners.
The eyeliner, all that stuff. It's green.
Did you take a picture?
Jen did. It's streaking down. She was screaming.
Is it postable?
What's that?
Is it postable?
She did that once with the mascara. I might have a little. I'll see. I have to see. But it was, she was screaming to the high heavens. So daddy on the spot came up, complete lie. I said, Aunt Cher, Cheryl's my sister. I said, Aunt Cher, when she was little, she did this. She never did this.
Yeah, because they didn't have magic markers. They didn't have like permanent marker back then.
No, they're not toxic, but she,
I know,
scared.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was, but she was screaming. So here we are and we're ready to roll. And, all right, listen, last night, I almost feel like while the Lakers won, and we'll get to LeBron's great defensive effort, how he stepped up, he wanted to guard Jamal Murray. If you I know you remember this. I'm asking rhetorically, but do you remember this had to be at least 5 years ago? And you know I love my history.
Yep.
You know I love my sporting history. So if I give you a reference, it's usually a pretty interesting one and usually a pretty accurate one. And I remember so I guess it was more than 5 years ago, when Kyrie first started playing big games, I said, nobody uses the backboard and spin.
Right. Yeah.
Like
he kisses it. He can kiss it off every spot. And you know it's going in the hole.
Every angle. Teak, I know they didn't win. I know LeBron, final 4 minutes, whatever it was, put the clamps down. He missed a few shots. We'll get to Jokic, who was relatively ineffective. He's got to play better. He's got to avoid the fouls. But Jamal Murray last night in defeat, the shots that he made, the one fall away with the left hand, the other one when LeBron went to rub him and he took it down and then he spun it off the back. That was a sequence of shots we might not see for a long time.
Yeah,
he was
right.
Fantastic.
It reminded you of Kyrie. You're absolutely right. And so, like, you know, a kid who works on his craft is ultimately going to, especially if he has the natural talent, which Jamal Murray does, he's going to rise to the top and he's getting his opportunity. And, you know, last night, if it wasn't for LeBron finally slowing him down a little bit, he might have single-handedly won that game for the Denver Nuggets. But this is why you also need to and can never discount LeBron James, because he finds ways, whatever it is. And he's done it for, I mean, decades now at BT, whether it was with the Cleveland Cavaliers early. Now, they never won a championship, but certainly he did it in Miami, comes back to Cleveland. We know the block that BT thinks is the second greatest defensive play in history.
Best.
But you know what I mean. It's best. He always
LeBron's
finds
a, second.
A way. That's what I mean.
So, he
always finds a way, LeBron James. And that's what makes him who he is.
Yeah.
It's why we laud him. And despite some of the hate that gets thrown his way, you got to respect LeBron James, because Jamal Murray almost took the game for himself. Now, with that being said, the Denver Nuggets are in a similar situation that they've been in all postseason, down 3-1. The difference is, the first round series, maybe they were supposed to win. They were supposed to beat the Jazz. The second round series, it was a toss up. You know what I mean? Clippers were disjointed.
Clippers were favored.
Disjointed. Like, you could ease, and they were only the 3 seed. It's not like it was, the 6 seed versus the 2 seed. It was just the 3 seed versus the 2 seed. The Clippers have some issues. They disappeared in the second halves. It was a toss up, right? You could almost say, maybe they could have were supposed to win. This is a daunting 3-1 to come back from, especially because of LeBron James, who we were just talking about.
You got to hope, and I don't want to see this, but from the Nuggets' point of view, we got to hope that AD wakes up a little tender, a little sore.
Yep.
Once that adrenaline rush leaves his body, when he tweaked his ankle, you're like, here we go again. he can't get to the finish line, but he fought through it, caught the alley-oop, made some plays after he went down. I want to play a couple sound bites here in a second, but I do have to say this. I've been, LeBron is, critical. Not critical of his game. I'm never critical. The only thing I'm critical of with his game is, his free throw shooting.
That's right. Horrendous. That's horrendous, BT.
I know.
It's horrendous.
Oh, well, but we've been on this for years, so that's not a surprise.
True.
That's the only thing. And on early, a reluctance, maybe a little bit too quick to defer, which actually is part of his brilliance, because he actually passes up a good shot for the better shot. How could he knock a guy for that? But take, the greatest players in the history of the game. And we all know the list. It's subjective. But you know who's on the top 10 in various, various places. Imagine, Wilt Shaq's not on my top. Tim Duncan, or Magic.
Kareem.
Or obviously Kareem. Or Bird. Imagine one of those guys stepping out and guarding somebody the way he guarded Murray last night, who is quicker, who is 10 years younger, and it was 5 inches shorter. So the ability to manipulate space, big time advantage Jamal Murray. Jordan could do it. Jordan's a guy who could do it. If you have Kobe in your top 10, which I don't, he's just on the outside, all due respect to Kobe. Kobe, I think, would certainly take on that challenge and revel in that and probably succeed. But you can't understand. I don't want to just gloss over how impressive and how rare that is for LeBron to say, I want that guy.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to lock him up. And now it's go time.
But
it's winning time.
But it was also important. If he doesn't do that and do it effectively, they probably don't win the game, BT.
So I agree.
That's why LeBron James, I mean, as much as I, in my mind, want to put him in different categories and drop him down lists and say, well, you know, Kareem is the best, man. He doesn't get the credit he does, but MJ is number one and Kareem is right there. And, you know, God, what about all these other guys that could maybe jump him? You can't have anyone jump LeBron James. He's not jumpable at this point because at 36 years old, 35 or 35 years old, he's still doing things that 25-year-olds don't want to do in the NBA.
Or aren't capable of doing.
Well, exactly, especially that. And it leads directly to winning. You know, the other thing that it does is it just galvanizes everybody else, right? And again, this is it's a cliche in sports, but when your best player is your hardest worker, as is clearly the case with LeBron James, everybody gets lifted. Remember Dwight Howard, who we talked about? Game one, he was dominant on Jokic. Dominant, right? Kept him from assisting, had him frustrated. This game, he wasn't dominant against Jokic per se, but the second chance points, you saw it in the first period. It was like he got every rebound. He got the tip-ins. He was outworking Nikola Jokic. And those points don't matter in the big scheme of things, but they actually matter.
No, it's a three-possession game,
that's
it
right.
Matters.
They ultimately
absolutely matter.
And so you hate to look back at the first quarter and say, well, that tip-in where he just out-positioned and got his hand just barely in front to knock it in front of Jokic, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So when he's working, meaning LeBron, everybody else is working. This Lakers team is tough, man.
Listen, all the coaches say it. All the managers, all the coaches, depending upon the sport, when your best player is your hardest worker, it sets the whole tone. It makes the coach's job easier. It just sets a win. It's a winning recipe. All right, let's hear from Vogel on LeBron stepping up and asserting himself, saying, I want the challenge to guard Murray. Here's the Lakers head coach.
LeBron asked for the assignment, and obviously I granted it. And, you know, he did a great job down the stretch, you know, trying to contain him one-on-one. Murray had a great night, and, you know, nothing was really working in terms of trying to slow him down until Bron took that assignment. So game ball to him, I guess, for that move.
Yeah, and we heard from LeBron after the game, but obviously based on the results, LeBron was up to the task. Here's James on stepping out and stepping into Murray's space.
I know it was winning time, and Jamal had it going. You know, the kid is special. He has an array of shots, the triple threat from the three, from the mid-range, and also in the paint.
And he didn't even hit any threes. I mean, everything was mid-range. Everything was at the rim last night. What a game. You know, boy, can you imagine if the Nuggets would have found a way to squeeze that out? 2-2, a little gimpy ankle maybe on AD. Yep. Going into game five.
I know. It's not unfortunate because I want to see LeBron do it. You know, I kind of want to see him bring the Lakers back. It's been a decade since the Lakers have been in the
You want to see, you want to see him get there, or you want to see him win? Big difference for me. You want to see him win?
Definitely get there.
Mm-hmm.
Win, I'm not so positive. You know, I'm not like, LeBron James has got to win this for me to have a successful in my mind season.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I think it's get there. I want to see him get there because changing what the fortunes of the Lakers is what he came out here to do. And I remember when they first made the decision, you know, three years ago, it was, you know, how long is it going to take? I didn't believe he was going to be able to do this. You know what I mean? We doubted whether or not he would have the ability to, at 34, 33 years old at the time, and ultimately 35, to, you know, get a championship for the LA Lakers. Yet here they are on the cusp of it. So,
we also didn't know we'd have AD.
It was
changes it a bit.
It was kind of happening though, right? That first year they were trying to get AD.
They weren't going to win.
It was just a matter of time before they did. Now they got to give up a lot to get him, but it's probably worth it.
Worth it.
Definitely
Ingram's turned
worth
into
it.
A good player. Ingram's turned into a really good player, but no, you do this 10 times out of 10. You got to maximize that whatever remains in LeBron's prime, something you and I have talked about a lot. It's reckless not to do it. That's why it drives me crazy when you see somebody, depending upon the sport, but like that quarterback who's 29-ish or 30, and you're like, man, they still haven't gotten it right for this guy. Or that basketball player who's 27 or so, man, they still haven't surrounded him with the right pieces. Are they ever going to get it done? There's a finite window for all of us in life, but there's really a finite window for these uber athletes who do these amazing physical things. I want to play this for Mike Malone because this is now a storyline going forward. 35 free throw attempts for the Lakers, 23 for the Denver Nuggets. And if you recall, the Lakers were amped up about this, and they were juiced up about it going into last night. There was, shall we say, a recalibration or a market correction, and you'd have to think, based on what Mike Malone says here, you might get the same thing next game. Here's the Nuggets head coach.
So we'll watch the film, and we'll send our clips in, and we'll reach out to the NBA and kind of make our points noted. And whether them going through the proper channels affected tonight or not, I have no idea. The NBA does a great job of listening, and then hopefully, you know, you hope that next game, maybe some of those fouls are called.
And by the way, I love that he's doing that. It's, mm-hmm. you know, coaching 101. It's from the pamphlet. Hey, listen, this is what you do. Your back's up against the wall. Go for anything. But 35-23, I mean, we've seen situations where it's like 46-19,
yeah.
where the discrepancy is so wide that you cannot justify it. 35-23. You know, a lot of those attempts, and I know he had eight attempts himself, yeah. Murray, but a lot of the buckets were fallaways and spinners using his pivot foot going away from the rim. You're not going to get that call.
No, exactly.
You're not.
Well, BT, that was the same thing that LeBron's, you know, complaints. That's why it was falling on deaf ears in some regards, because most of LeBron James's shots were uncontested in game three. He wasn't driving to the rim. He was taking pull-up jumpers. He was crossing guys up in the three-point line and just shooting. So, you're not going to take free throws if you're not driving to the lane. But that's exactly what the Denver Nuggets – that was the problem with the Denver Nuggets last night,
yeah.
is that they weren't aggressive going into the hole. So if you're not going to be aggressive, you're not just getting phantom calls. So Mike Malone is right. He should say this, because he sees a discrepancy, but it's not egregious by any means.
Good word. Good choice. I agree. It's not egregious. Perfect word. That encapsulates everything. It's not egregious. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a little uneven, but it's certainly not egregious. What cannot happen? Listen, I said the Nuggets are going to get two wins. I'm going to give them one more.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jokic has 7 rebounds in 34 minutes and 5 fouls and 16 points, they have no shot. Then don't even show up.
And only 4 assists. It's not happening.
Yeah. He's got to play better. And that's it. And listen, he's allowed, you know, one really off game. He just wasn't really fully involved. I get it. I'm not trying to bury the guy, but if you're a superstar, and I have positioned him that quite aggressively now for a while on the show, you can't have two of those in a row.
Yeah.
You can't have two of those in a row. Not when your back's against the wall.
Yep.
Facing elimination.
Especially with a closeout.
That's right. Teek, let's get to this. So Lakers apparently destined for the finals, unless you believe in that Denver mojo, which is tough to dispel at this point. They've done it multiple times, coming back from multiple game deficits, so don't close the basketball coffin yet. However, would you rather see, assuming we push the Lakers through, just for conversation, would you rather see them play the Heat or the Celtics? Let's get to that. That game is tonight as well. And then obviously, rest of the way, all football. We're stacked. Teeky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Getting jiggy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting jiggy with it. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. This was a good, as scorny as it might be a little bit, this is a good beat back in the day.
Yeah, of course,
man. It's a good jam. I like this one. Getting jiggy with it. Do you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV? I think Sharp Tierney's a fan of the song as well. 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. Something on the mess that is the Jets already, specifically Adam Gase. He is in the menu, or on the menu, and hopefully not on the menu for long. Hopefully he will be fired soon. We'll get to that. He's just a disease. He's horrendous.
Coming from the rabid resident Jet fan.
I would say coming from anybody with a few brain cells. The guy's been stealing money for years.
He sounds like he's lost, man.
He is. We'll get to that coming up. So there's also a poll that I put up on my personal account that we've retweeted from the Teeky and Tierney account.
It's
about quarterbacks, though, Teek. I want to get this out there early, because we're going to circle back to this a little later in the show once we move past the
hoops.
Don't
get me fired up talking about Daniel Jones now.
It's not about Dan. It's funny you say Daniel Jones. Which 0-2 quarterback most needs a win this weekend? I purposely left Jones off, and I obviously left Darnold off, because they're going to get destroyed, and they're playing a good team, and the Jets stink. I thought about, can I squeeze Jones in? But you know what?
This is a good conversation. I can't wait to have this.
Okay, but here's the choices, at least on the poll. All right, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins. Right now, Carson's at 48%. Not a surprise to me. Matt Ryan's at 11%, Deshaun's at 25%, and 17% for Kirk Cousins. Go give it a vote at Brandon Tierney, at Tiki and Tierney, wherever it is.
I just retweeted and voted, and I'll tell you my selection when we talk about it later, and my reasoning why.
Oh, I could probably guess, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. All right, listen, you know, I asked the question before. Let's just, for the sake of conversation, let's just push the Lakers into the finals. Denver, you've been getting a lot of respect on the show, and we're not pronouncing you dead yet. Don't take this the wrong way. But just for conversation's sake, Lakers move on. And we asked the question, you know, what is the more enjoyable, what's the most more anticipated matchup between the possibilities of the Heat and the Celtics? Now, historically, I mean, anytime you get Celtics-Lakers, sign me up.
Yeah.
I mean, it brings you back to the 80s with Bird and McHale and all those guys and Magic and, of course, Kareem, et cetera.
From a rating standpoint, it's a boon, man.
That too.
You could throw all the history around it. The lead-ins would be historical footage. Have interviews with Larry Legend and Magic. I mean, it'd be amazing.
Yes.
It really would be amazing.
For sure. The only thing you can't do is bring Pat Riley into it because he's with the Heat now. But, you know, everybody else is still alive. And Casey Jones, I think Casey Jones passed away. Yeah, I think Casey Jones passed away. And if he didn't, I highly apologize. I think I'm almost positive he did. But the all the other Celtics, and outside of Dennis Johnson, who passed away, the point guard, all the players are still with us. So you could do some great things. Mm-hmm. Point being, because it's in the bubble, Lakers-Celtics, that whole dynamic that we just threw out there, it doesn't feel the same without 20,000 fans going nuts.
And I got to tell you, BT, I don't think I'd want to see that series because I think the Lakers destroy them. I think the Lakers might sweep them. And that's not saying that the Celtics don't have the ability to, you know, play big and play up and find a way to disrupt what AD and LeBron are doing, which is amazing, by the way, this postseason. The statistics of those two superstars have been amazing. But it's more because of the versatility that the Lakers have. I mean, think of we had this conversation coming into the postseason. If the Celtics would have to take on the 76ers, for instance, who the hell is checking Joel Embiid, right? Who's getting into the post and stopping him from just being a monster?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing with the Lakers currently is that Dwight Howard is having a resurgence in his importance, whether it's because he needs to stop Jokic or simply just being a bigger body that the Boston Celtics have no chance of defending or combating. You know, I like their team, but it's small and it's young. I think the Lakers would have so much harder of a time with the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, obviously, I would give a chance to best because they shoot so well from three-point range. Whereas the Lakers, I mean, they've been in the 30% range, you know, low 30% for almost this entire season. It's actually miraculous that they're winning the games that they're winning.
Yeah. Yeah, they were 5-for-23 the other night. They lost, and we talked about that. I agree with that. I mean, I don't really need to really repeat that, so I'll try to find a different angle because I do think that the Lakers would have an easier time with the Celtics. I could see them. Listen, LeBron can stifle Tatum if that's the mat you want to put him on him. And, you know, Rondo could be a nuisance for Kemba. It's not. I'm not saying I don't love the matchup. I agree.
Yeah.
Miami, listen, I want to see Tyler Hero. I'm not saying that he's the reincarnation of, like, Ray Allen – which some people are.
But the dude is good,
he's interesting
man.
Enough. Well, I want to keep watching him play.
I agree, 100%.
And I want to see Jimmy Butler play for a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, you deserve what you get. So, you know, it's not like, wow, he deserves it. You deserve what you get. If you get to the finals, you deserve it. But I really feel like he kind of deserves it, he's done, injecting his will and his passion into this franchise. And I'd love to see him play a bunch more games.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Because you think about his route from, what was he drafted? This is his eighth year.
He was barely a first-round pick out of Marquette.
Was he second? He was at the bottom of the first round.
30th, I think.
Right? Exactly.
29th and 30th.
Just kind of was who he was. Even in Chicago, he started to rise, and he starts bouncing around. He can't find his home, and he finds the place that perfectly suits him.
Yeah.
But nobody expected him to be the superstar that he's become. I agree with you. His story would be more compelling, to be honest with you, than the stories of the Celtics. The Celtics have time. And not that I'm, you know, saying don't go win a championship right now, but the story is more interesting to me if it's Lakers-Heat, even though the story nationally, Lakers-Celtics, is obviously historically important and relevant.
But it's amazing that we just said that, and it's amazing that we both agree. I mean, you, like, growing up, I mean, I remember coming home from CYO in the mid-'80s, and like a few guys from my team coming over and just jamming or cramming in the basement and watching the CBS, watching the Celtics and the Lakers and the luminaries. And by the way, Casey Jones is still alive. God bless him. I don't know. I'm sorry for messing that up. Casey Jones is 88. I wasn't sure if he had passed away. He's still with us, thankfully. So keep going, Casey. 88 yeah, years young. Won a lot of champ. Was a player. Played at San Francisco. And it would feel more legitimate. And we haven't leaned on the bubble as antiseptic or it's war. But you want to give me Lakers Celtics. I want to see it in front of
crowds. You're right. I hear you.
I need the arenas.
I don't disagree, you know? Man. Because that's think of the generations that have been waiting for that again.
Well, we got that. Remember, we got that with Kobe and Pierce. We got that.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
But outside of that, no, it's so infrequent.
Yeah.
We got that like that.
And how long ago was that? 20 years?
No, 15, less than that.
15?
It was 13-ish, yeah. Whatever it was, around 13, 14. Right now, there's certainly less than 20. But it's crazy how you grow up with certain things. And depending upon when you're born, you just think that it's going to last like that forever. Like if you're a little kid watching baseball in the 70s, you know, you think the big red machine, you think the Reds are going to own baseball forever. And, you know, now think about the drought that they've had playoff-wise. You think about, you know, if you grew up in, you know, the 80s and the early 90s, you're like, hey, the Giants, you got LT, mm-hmm. you got Parcells. That's Giants right. have fallen on lean times. The Niners before this most recent renaissance, and obviously the one with Harbaugh, there was a wide gap. The Yankees have had pronounced gaps from 81 losing the World Series to getting back to the playoffs in 95 as a wild card team. So, like, you almost become, hey, this is common. This is the way it is. And that's kind of what I thought, Grom. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I love watching the Knicks, but I don't expect to watch the Knicks in June. I expect to watch the Celtics and the Lakers.
Yeah, when you were young.
And that's what you get when I was a kid.
You didn't realize the cyclical nature of consistently good play.
Yeah.
Like it just
you take
falls
it for granted,
away.
Really.
It really does.
You take it for
really
granted. Does. And then, you know, I don't know that it's the most, certainly for talk radio, it's not really sexy to talk about, but let's at least give it 30 seconds. From a coaching matchup point of view, you're talking about, let's say, Vogel Spoelstra.
I think Spoelstra has the advantage. He obviously has the advantage.
Yeah. What about Vogel Stevens?
That's close. A good one. That one's closer.
Yeah, I agree.
But given that Vogel has two of the best players in basketball, mm-hmm. I think I would lean towards Vogel.
What about Malone Stevens?
Malone.
I agree. What about Malone Spoelstra?
Spoelstra.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
just
it's crazy because we talk about how great of a coach Brad Stevens is, and he is. He really is.
Well, maybe a little quick to use the word great.
But that's what I mean. So maybe he's
really good. He's not
maybe
great.
Maybe he's just really good. That's what I'm talking about. We always said, you know, for the last, whatever, 5-6 years, Brad Stevens is a great coach. Look what he's doing with these young kids.
Well, look what he did at Butler.
Yes, I know, exactly.
Multiple Final Fours, Butler.
That's right. And then he comes, he comes to the NBA, and it's like, dude, this guy got it.
Yeah,
He's a great coach.
Uh-huh.
But then
and you know who ruined it?
Who's that?
Who do you think?
I don't
Kyrie.
Know. Oh, Kyrie. Yeah.
That's when we first started.
That was
the first time we reassessed. We're like,
yeah.
Wait,
you can't deal with a superstar.
Miss something?
Yeah, you're a good coach, but you can't deal with a superstar, like a mercurial superstar. It's the word we always use for Kyrie.
Yep.
Then you might not be great.
Yes.
Yeah. Because think about everything we just said. Like every coach we put against Brad Stevens, we had better than Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
So that makes him very good.
Well, and the great ones, you have Phil Jackson, even with the issues with Kobe and Shaq, mm-hmm. sometimes individually, sometimes jointly, you learn to navigate
it. Dude, how he managed that.
Is what it is.
That's
smoked a big fat blunt and he walked out to practice and he said, hey, I got Kobe and Shaq. I'll find a way to win.
Great point.
That's what he did.
Yeah. You guys fight amongst yourself. As long as it doesn't infiltrate on the court, I don't care.
Don't bother me.
Exactly.
This stuff is good.
Yes.
All right. Coming up. Oh, listen, he's obviously in over his head, Adam Gase, for the Jets. But what does it mean for Sam Darnold? I got to tell you, I'm officially starting to get worried about Sam. How could you not? How could you not? I'm getting worried about him. Are they ruining him? Have they already ruined him? We'll hit that in inbounds, out of bounds. But first, Bob Huesler's update. Bobby in the house. Here he is. All right, Tiki and Tierney here. Tiki, I'm in a weird mood today. I'm anticipating
Friday, that's why.
I love it, man. I'm anticipating the arrival of Sharp Tierney. I'm telling you. And I'm extra wired today. I'm extra jacked up.
Yep.
Love Fridays. Time to ask the pros here. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around. Listen later on. And Teague and I will answer the best one. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag Ask the Pros. So challenge us, and we'll get around to it. We'll pick the best one. We'll give you some props on the air as well. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Top of the hour, about 18 minutes from now, we'll do a nice college football segment. Brian Jones, our buddy BJ, CBS Sports college football analyst. Pac-12 is back, and all the implications from that, just kind of early assessments, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Jones, you'll take us through the weeds with that, and then we'll do pretty much NFL the rest of the way. But right now, it's time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. Deke, you good to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, sorry, America. Let's talk about the Jets for a minute. They're 0-2, injuries everywhere. Adam Gase had an interesting week. This week he said he'd take, quote, who's this is where you're at. It's not even October. Good God.
I know, right?
Whoever's got a pulse right
Come
now,
on.
End quote,
Come
to fill
on.
The voids. Then linebacker Avery Williams popped in, and he joined our buddies Joe and Evan over on WFAN in New York City, and he complained about the pace of practice.
You know, at times in practice, you know, guys are missing tackles, or, you know, we aren't doing things right. I feel like we haven't been as crisp as we should be at times. So, or starting fast. I mean, he's definitely being correct on that.
All right. So when a veteran says they're not really practicing well, you would imagine the head coach has to refute those claims, something Gase did the next day.
I haven't necessarily felt that. I mean, when I watch our guys, I feel like guys are flying around, they're chasing the ball, but nobody said anything during the week. I mean, I felt like we had really good tempo to practice.
All right. Yeah, look great. First play from the scrimmage, 80 yards to the house. Nobody mm-hmm. touched him. Yeah, you guys were flying around in practice,
yeah.
Coach. Attaboy.
Yeah. Way to substitute. put an extra DB in the game when you know the 49ers are just going to run the ball. I mean, not being critical or anything.
No, you should be. It's bad. Now, yesterday, there was a little bit of a protest here, a fire Gase protest. Wasn't wildly attended. Only four people showed up on the corner, probably right near your house, by the way.
It probably was.
You know, it could have been Tiki's buddies coming
up there
home
on
from,
Park Avenue, on Park Avenue in Florham Park.
Uh-huh.
I run by there frequently.
Oh, what a joke. So here we are. Considering Sam Darnold's had multiple offensive coordinators in his first three seasons, multiple head coaches as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. It would be harmful to his development to switch coaches mm-hmm. than to keep Gase around.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that. I think it wouldn't be harmful. It would be tough for him, but that's just, you got to have the right coach, and I don't know if he's the right coach right now.
You don't know if he's the right coach.
I know
putting
he's
it
not.
Mildly.
It's only two games in. He could turn it around.
He's not turning anything around except his car when he gets gas. He'll turn that around.
I'm not holding on to Adam Gase to further the development of Sam Darnold.
True.
Is my point. So
okay.
I'm going to say out of bounds.
I agree. At this point, you know, I don't love three coaches, you know, going into year four, another offensive coordinator. That's problematic. That can retard progress because now you're thinking
yep.
rather than reacting. I get it. But, I mean, even last night's game, which we'll get to a little later, I'm watching them play. There's great – there's pace, there's movement, there's tempo, mm-hmm. there's innovation, there's original concepts, there's guys flying around. It's just – the Jets are just so predictable and so bad. You know, it's impossible to judge what Darnold really is. His footwork is still a little sloppy. But then that touchdown he throws against the Niners where he's basically on the sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
He throws it sidearm like Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You're like, that's incredible arm
yeah.
talent.
Do that more.
I know. Plus, he won, you know, seven of his last nine last year. He had mono. It's very hard to judge, but Adam Gase is not the right coach, not only for the Jets. Adam Gase is not the right coach for head coach for any NFL team. He's been stealing money for years. It took me a year or two longer than most to figure that out, but he's a con guy. He's a con artist who doesn't know as much as he thinks he knows about the game because what the Jets are trying, forget about talent, what they're doing conceptual, like just in terms of pure concepts.
Yeah.
Is old, stale, and predictable. He's terrible.
BT, he doesn't even know his locker room.
And that too.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Nick Nurse, the opposite of Adam Gase. This guy's good. Nick Nurse won an NBA championship in his first season with the Raptors. And then, despite losing Kawhi, led the team to their best win percentage ever this year in route to winning Coach of the Year honors. Isn't that crazy? That really is amazing.
Right.
Now the Raptors have given him a contract extension worth an estimated $8 million a year. So they know what they're doing up there, that's for sure, which will put him behind only Popovich, Kerr, and Spoelstra's annual deals. Two seasons in, here's the question. Nurse, or statement, Nurse is a top four coach in the NBA, in or out?
Inbound, BT, because 50% of your tenure as a head coach, you've won a championship, and the other 50%, that's only two seasons, it's a small sample, you far exceed expectations, like significantly exceed expectations. You can coach. Now, you have some veterans, but also some really young, good players on that team, so it's the roster is constructed, and Musai Ujiri, you got to give a ton of credit for this, but... yeah, I think he is top four. Pop is—he's on the way out.
Yep.
And you know, Spoelstra and Kerr are obviously still there. And I'm trying to think who else you would throw in that conversation.
Malone's pretty good, man.
Mike Malone, sure. Good. You could also, you know, debate Bud, Coach Budenholzer.
He takes a step back from me this year.
He does. I don't disagree. Basically, you got gentlemanly swept out of the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think you're right. So I'm going to say inbounds.
Yeah, I don't think we're missing anybody. I'm just looking at the teams
here. Yeah, I was trying to think
also. Snyder's a really good coach for Utah. He's really, I'm not going to say he's top four, but he's really good. You know what? My answer is obviously inbounds. I just want to see if we're missing anybody. Nick Nurse is terrific.
There's nobody that's jumping. There's nobody that's going to jump. There's some you can put in the top six or seven, but nobody's going to jump Nick Nurse.
No, when you've got to think about it that hard, you're probably overthinking
it. Right.
Just look at the obvious. Nick Nurse can obviously coach a superstar. Granted, a very low-maintenance superstar, but he can coach a superstar. That's proven.
Yep.
And he can rally and inspire and overachieve with a group of guys that without a true superstar. Right. He's great. He's a great coach.
Think about this, BT.
Inbounds.
Think of how he managed Kawhi Leonard. I'm sure Doc Rivers had some of the same – I don't want to call them challenges because that means that he's a pain in the ass. Meaning Kawhi's a pain in the ass, but think of the challenges of managing Kawhi Leonard with his minute back-to-back restrictions. Sometimes it's minute restrictions, and you know, develop a chemistry even though he's not playing every day. Nick Nurse had to do the same thing last year, probably more so than Doc Rivers had to do this year. And look how effective Kawhi was.
Great point.
When it mattered in the postseason. He was money. Kawhi wasn't that same player this year.
So we use that to illuminate Nurse, but also understand that Doc Rivers.
About, as we talked about a couple days ago.
Which we did. Okay.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Typically in college football, the team's got to be 500 or above against FBS opponents to qualify for a bowl game. However, now, Teak, the NCAA is considering a proposal to allow any team, to be eligible to play in a bowl during the shortened season. Some smaller schools are obviously worried that they'll get glossed over for the bigger schools that might travel better if they're actually allowed to go to some of these games by then. And maybe they will, like the Bahama Bowl. I'm sure you can go to the Aloha Bowl. I'm sure you can, maybe. I think you can. So it's a legitimate concern. And the bigger name programs, maybe you have inferior records, are catapulted to bowls, and teams that are lower profile but maybe better, at least this year, can get looked over. So it's an interesting question. In or out? It's a mistake to allow any team to qualify for a bowl even during this unique season.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because let's not forget the protocols that all of the colleges and universities are thinking about implementing and are going to have to adhere to. These bowl games, when they happen, are going to be regional. They're not going to be like international. We're going to go to, you know, play. It's never going to happen because they don't own this bowl. But like Virginia is never going to go play in the Rose Bowl. You know what I mean? Unless it's part of the college football playoff.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's
you're saying they're still somewhat limited in what they could do.
Exactly.
With certain ones, though.
Certain schools and basically states and school systems aren't going to let their teams travel across the country.
Well, somebody's going to go to the Bahama Bowl.
I know. Bahama Bowls are different.
Why?
I'm talking about like the regional bowls, like the Peach Bowl or the CarQuest Bowl or the, I don't know, the Motor City Bowl.
So you don't mean regional as much as you mean where certain designations for conference affiliation.
Forget the conference affiliation. I'm thinking bowls are going to be populated by teams that are close to the bowl site.
Gotcha.
Right? So
gotcha.
It's
you really
odd.
Think so?
I do. because I don't
that
think
would stink.
I know it'll stink, but I don't think that the schools and the prince and the presidents and the chancellors or even the ADs are going to say, okay, yeah, go travel halfway across the country for 6 days or whatever it may be, and you know, risk whatever. They're still charged with protecting these kids, so it's just an odd year. So I'm going to say. It's not a mistake, so out of bounds.
It's a unique thought. I didn't consider that. I don't necessarily know that I fully agree, but that's I didn't really look at it that way. I'm going to say out of bounds. I think that this is one of those years. It's not a mistake. You just do what you have to do to piece right. something together.
No doubt.
That's it. I mean, how many bowls are there? 48, 50, whatever. Like 50 bowls, 52, whatever.
And you might get teams that say, no thanks.
Yo, you absolutely will.
You know what I mean?
Which will open up the door for maybe lower profiles. Yeah. You just got to piece something together like a schedule, and we're going to get into that with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten with Jonesy coming up next segment. You know, you got to do what you got to do in a pandemic year. Hopefully, you know, our kids don't even see something like this down the road. So we'll deal with it now and eradicate it and eventually get back to fully functioning sports world and society. But whatever it is, put it on TV, fulfill the requirements, make a few bucks, you know, placate the sponsors and move on. And if people have an issue with that, I don't want to say too bad. I don't want to sound that callous, but you just have to understand the circumstances are different. So you're going to have to deal with it.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki, real quick, we got about 60 seconds here. We got Jonesy coming up next. Mm-hmm. So I get out. I was like going into the shower. Either way, we were getting the kids down the other night. I go into our bedroom and I'm starting to get undressed, get into the shower, and I put on the TV. I want to see the score of the Yankee game. Mm-hmm. And as I'm making my way up to the YES Network, I flip through the ACC channel.
It is.
And I texted it to Tiki. I took a video. The first play, like, click ACC channel. Who's blocking?
That's
Tiki
me.
Is picking up this beast defensive end or linebacker in the hole. Bang! Crushed him.
I hit him as hard as I could, BT. That kid's name was James. Not kid, because he was a man. He was a senior. I think he was a fifth-year senior. It was James Hamilton. He had to have weighed 250.
He went down.
Because I remember hitting him like, ouch.
you put him down. He went down.
I did, because I hit him as hard as I could. Yeah, of course he did.
But if you didn't pop him, Aaron Brooks is getting popped, which is the basis of our conversation with Saquon.
That's right.
And other running backs.
You got to sacrifice yourself sometimes.
You got to block. Jonesy next, a little college. Tiki and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.